Our Father, in the name of Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship around the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as the word is taught now, every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear, every heart is receptive to the preaching and teaching of God's word. There is no confusion in any heart, but the fullness of light and revelation in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you, we give you praise, for we know it's done, for in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. Okay, Genesis 1:26. Genesis 1:26. God wants the world. Hallelujah. Okay, let's read. 1, 2, go. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Hallelujah. Okay, so we've seen that right from Genesis, God had a plan for the earth that he made, for the earth that he created, right? He says to man, he says, fill the earth, right, and subdue it. And we've said that those instructions have to do with filling the earth with a certain kind of man. Okay, it's not just be giving birth. That's not what that is saying. Okay, it's saying fill the earth with what? Can we say the worship of God? Have we seen that so far? The worship of God, the knowledge of God, right? Okay, so the earth will be filled, or the world will be filled with men who are given to the service and the worship of God. That has been God's plan right from Genesis 1, right? All through. And then we said that God is the first evangelist. Is the first person that makes his plan known, or that good news known, of his plan, will, and counsel for man. Hallelujah. And in every generation, he picks men, right, to partner with in order to reach out to the nations or to other men, right, with his gospel. We saw Seth, then Enoch, then Noah. Then after all of those folks failed, then he looked again for Abraham, right? Then Abraham's family. So we have Abraham, we have Isaac, then we have Jacob. Now Jacob now expanded into Israel. Okay, same family. Okay, and same plan. Do you get it? Okay, so Israel would now be that tool of God to carry out his missionary plan on the earth. Okay, God chose Israel. We've said that the choosing or election of Israel is simply so that Israel can be the means by which the nations know God, right? Okay, it's not that God loved Israel more than the nations. No. Okay, God simply chose. It's just like today, you know, if someone is called by God to preach to others, you know, it doesn't mean that God loves him more than others, right? If God says to Bro Gabe, preach to everyone here, you know, it doesn't mean God loves Bro Gabe more than everyone here. Right? Actually, God loves everyone here. That's why he chose Bro Gabe. Do you get it? Do you get it? Okay, so God choosing Israel is so that Israel can be that means by which the plans and counsel of God now becomes known to the Gentile nations, the pagan nations, those who worshipped idols and all of that. Okay, so we've looked through the scriptures to see how Israel in part carried out that task. Okay, and we've said that the nation as a whole did not really carry out that plan or that task, right? We'll look at that, you know, in the future of this teaching, you know, in the next coming weeks. But you know, for now, that will suffice that some, just few people in Israel actually carried out that task of evangelism or missions to the nations. But the nation as a whole now grew proud, you know, thinking that, well, since God has chosen us, then we are God's special people, right? It's segolao. So because of that, you know, that's actually a form of racism, Can we say that? Can we say that? Okay, you know, God has chosen us. So because God has chosen us, we now push away the other nations. That was a problem with Israel. Okay, so the Gentiles they were sent to minister to, they now segregated them and began to discriminate against them. Are you seeing this now? Okay, but which was not God's plan for Israel. You know, we've seen in the Psalms and the prophets that God has a universal view of salvation, right? We saw that in the last session. We saw that God wants, you see all those words that he used, all the nations, right? From sea to sea, all the earth. Do you see that? You know, those are words that someone uses when he wants everyone. Hallelujah. Okay, his message does not segregate anyone. No one anywhere. Okay, so like we've said, God wants the world. He wants the all the families of the world being blessed, okay, by his gospel. He wants all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. So now the question is, what is the truth? What is the truth? Okay, what is truth? You know, in our days, in our day and age, you know, there are some people who say things like, my truth. Have you heard that before? Let me tell you my truth. Hallelujah. You know, so he says, well, you know, Christians say that God is the only God. But that is their truth. You know, we live in a very strange, this social media age is very, very strange. Even Satan did not know that all of this will happen. He's very scared. You know, they are doing the work more than him. You know, the person behind the work, they are doing it more than he intended. Say, hey? Say, hey? Mamuba, come and say something. You know, he's shocked. This social media age. I saw someone saying that, you know, well, God is, Christians say that God is God. Well, that is their truth. That we all have our truth. No. You know, you know, if it's truth, why is it subjected to you? Are you following this? If it's truth, it should not be subjected to us. Truth is truth regardless of us. So if you say my truth, that means it's not truth. Come on. Come on. Truth will remain truth throughout. If truth, what is true to him must be true to her, must be true to her, must be true to him, right? But once what is true to him is only true to him, then it's not truth. Are you following what I'm saying here? Okay? Truth is truth because it's universal. It's not, the validity of truth is not based on man. Do you get it now? No, it's not based on man. If it was based on man, we'll go haywire. Don't you think so? We'll destroy ourselves. But truth is based solely on God's word. Hallelujah. Okay, so what is truth? Truth is what God himself, reveals about himself and about man. Okay? Truth is what God himself reveals about man and himself. Okay? So, you know, that's very funny because for man to even know himself, man will need God to explain himself to himself. Do you get it? Okay? And for man to understand God as well, man would require God to explain God to himself. So, the truth is God's very own message, not man's message. Okay? It's God's very own message, not man's message. Remember, we've seen that God is the first evangelist, right? Right? And an evangelist is the bringer of good news. That is an evangelist, okay? A bringer of good news. To evangelize is simply to proclaim good news. Do you get it? Or a good message. So the question now would be that, what message did God want man to know? Are you here? What message? Remember, we've seen that he wants every nation to be filled with his knowledge, right? Right? Every nation with his worship, right? With his service, right? Okay, now, what exactly does he want the nations to know? What exactly does he want the nations to know? Okay, what is his message to the nations? How many of you believe that the Old Testament can tell us? Huh? You believe now, right? After we were able to teach, you say, ha, Jesus Christ, what kind of a church is this? What kind of a church can preach evangelism from the Old Testament? Yeah. Amen? That is the function, amen, of a good local church. Hallelujah. Okay, you know, most times, like I told you, most times when people talk about evangelism, they always go to the New Testament. Always. It's always Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, Acts 1, John 21. Right? You're smiling, right? Aha! Okay? So, is it that the Old Testament, God was not concerned about souls or salvation in the Old Testament? No. Okay, so I told you that I looked around and I found that many pastors were not teaching missions or evangelism from the Old Testament. So, like, it's my duty and my joy. I like to take up that challenge immediately. Amen? So that we can help several people in their knowledge of God's Word. Is that clear? That meets you well? Okay, so now, first of all, God's message is monotheistic. Monotheistic. That is spelled M-O-N-O-C-H-E-I-S-T-I-C. M-O-N-O-T-H-E-I-S-T-I-C. Okay? Monotheistic. Now, what does this mean? It means that God's message reveals one true God. Okay? From mono and theo. Okay? Or theos. Mono meaning one, right? And theos meaning God. Are you here? So, that means that God's message reveals one true God. Now, you know, this is very key, especially when you realize that the nations were given to idolatry, right? Right? Remember what we looked at in the earlier sessions, right? They were given to idol worship. Alright? So, God's message to those nations is that He is the only true God amongst their idols. First, let's look at them giving to idolatry. Look at Joshua 24 again. We're here earlier on. Joshua 24 verse 2. Joshua 24 verse 2. And Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they did what? They served other gods. Do you see that? So God's message is to show them that their gods were no gods, basically. Okay? And that He is the true God. So, when God reveals His message to man, what will man see? That there's just one God. Is that clear? Is that clear? Now, look at Deuteronomy 4:35. Deuteronomy 4:35. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Okay. Deuteronomy 4:35. It says, to you it was shown that you might know that the Lord Himself is God. Hallelujah. And it says, there is no other besides Him. Do you see that? That word besides means except. Okay? There is no other, not besides, like close to Him. Oh. There is no other except Him. So this shows what? A monotheistic message. Right? Just one God. You see that again in verse 39 of the same chapter. It says, therefore know this day and consider it in your heart that the Lord God Himself is God. Hallelujah. In heaven above and on earth beneath, and there is no other. Is that clear? Come on, is that clear? That's easy enough, right? Look at Deuteronomy 6 verse 4. This is very, very evident. Very, very clear. Deuteronomy 6 verse 4. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is what? Is one. Hallelujah. So, God reveals Himself through His spokespersons as the only true God. God reveals Himself through His spokespersons as the only true God. So, can we say that the concept of more than one God is strange to Genesis to Malachi? Huh? Can we say a dual gods or several gods is strange to Genesis to Malachi? Huh? Huh? God is singular in the scriptures. Now, you didn't hear what I just said. Okay? You actually didn't hear. You didn't hear what I just said. So, I'll say it again. Can we say more than one God? If you hear what I said, you will understand what I'm saying is driving at something. Okay? Can we say having more than one God is strange to Genesis to Malachi? You hear what I said very well. You didn't hear it. Hear it well. Huh? And you're just another. Say cool. Hallelujah. Okay, having more than one God. If God is three, is that what Genesis to Malachi teaches? A look on your face, please. Let me run away from this quickly. All right. Second, food for thought. 2 Samuel 7:22. Hallelujah. Oh glory! You know, ask questions when you read your Bible. Okay, think through. Do you follow what I'm saying? Don't just read. I know for some of you, your Bible reading is story, novel. Just read fast. Let me share. Send my reports to pastor. Think through what you are reading. Okay, are you here? Think through what you're reading. Look at 2 Samuel 7:22. Okay, God's word is for thinking through. It's not for quoting. Okay, you should think. All right, 2 Samuel 7:22. It says, "Therefore you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you." Hallelujah. Now, is there any God besides you? Do you see that again? According to all that we have heard with our ears, amen. See, the same thing is recorded again. 1 Chronicles 17:20. 1 Chronicles 17:20 says, "O Lord, there is none like you, nor is there any God besides you." See that again? According to all that we have heard with our hair. You see that again? Psalm 86:10. Psalm 86:10. It says, "For you are great and you do wondrous things. You alone are God." Hallelujah. Okay? So, God himself tells us about himself as well, that he alone is God. He himself speaks about himself in this way. Look at Isaiah 43:10. Isaiah 43:10. He says, "You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he." And pay attention to this. It says, "Before me there was no God formed." Hallelujah. Ah, bad guy. Amen. You know, when somebody is talking like this, Agbaraniyo. Easy. Don't try him. Amen. Says there was no God formed. Hallelujah. Now shall there be after me. Very clear. Amen. Do you see only one God, right? Okay, look at Isaiah 44:6. Just lift your hands and give him praise. Thank him. Just thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Because he alone is God. Hallelujah. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Okay. Isaiah 44:6. You know he's here right now, right? Okay. Isaiah 44:6. Okay. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. You see that again? Besides me, there is no God. Hallelujah. So, since he is the only God, this means that he alone is creator. Okay. He alone is the creator of heaven and the earth. Look at Genesis 1:1. He puts to shame every atheist, science, arguments, everything. Genesis 1:1 is the clearest. He just puts everything to shame. You know? He says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Okay? If God's word is truth, this is everything you need to know about that. Are you following this? Are you following this? You know, some later on will say things like, "Oh, well, you know, how can you say God..." You know, you are like an ant that is trying to carry a house on his head. Your tiny brain. Very tiny brain. Do you know how tiny it is? Do you know the size of your brain compared to this table? I'm not even looking far. Just compared to this. Then compared to this building. Then compared to this old venue where we are in now. Then compared to this university. Don't know you are as big. Do you know? You are very big, oh. No. Don't worry, you know why you are as big soon. It's very big. Don't be deceived. Very, very big. And that is, in fact, it's spilling to Ajibode now. Okay? Then after that, that's just you. Wow. Then we now look at Songo. Compare your brain to all of that. And then you say, no. If God creates, then who creates God? You know those funny... Somebody who just be checking Google. I used to tell you. Mind... Mind the knowledge you don't be hungry. What, you know, when you eat everywhere, you eat poison. You say, let me find out who is God's father. Then you go and check Google. Then Satan goes, glory! Yeah, we have caught him now. Then you see somebody from Pakistan say, ha, no, 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 no. You know, there are four brothers. God is one of them. Okay, God's father had... Ridiculous. God's father had four children. So Yahweh is one of them. So he gave his brothers other... Have you seen that before? He gave his brothers other planets, Pluto and all of that, but he gave God Earth alone to be ruling. And you start thinking. You start thinking. And Satan is working. He's working. He's working. Then before you know, you're an atheist. Be careful. Okay? I've told you, you don't have to listen to every man of God on Google. Amen? Stick to what your local church teaches, okay? And ensure you grow in that doctrine. Is that clear? Okay? So he says here that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Very clear. Very clear. Okay? So he alone can create. Look at Psalm 96 verse 2. Psalm 96 verse 2. Are you there? Okay. It says, sing to the Lord, bless his name, proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day, declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among the peoples. For the Lord is great, hallelujah, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, and all the gods of the peoples are what? Idols. That is man-made. But the Lord made the heavens. Hallelujah. Honor and majesty are before him. What a God. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Hallelujah. Amen. Because he is God. That means only him can create. Okay. Only the true God has the power to create. And not only does he create, he owns what he creates. Are you following this? It's for him. It's for him. What he creates, he owns. Look at Psalm 24 verse 1. Psalm 24 verse 1, it says, the earth is the Lord's, hallelujah, and all its fullness. The KJV says its fullness thereof, right? Okay. The word and those who dwell in therein. Do you see that? For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters, hallelujah. So they all belong to him. You see that again, 1 Chronicles 29:11. 1 Chronicles 29 verse 11. It says, yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Do you see that? Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Hallelujah. You know, looking at this kind of God, you know, to leave him to serve Obatala is a slap on the face. Do you follow what I'm saying? Do you understand why idolatry is such a big deal? Do you get it now? I mean, look at this kind of God. So powerful, so great, so majestic. And then you leave him. And he has gone, shongo, shongo, shongo. I mean, that's a shame. I mean, you take wood. You by yourself made the wood. And then you are worshipping it. That's how you know that Satan, when the Bible says that the God of this world has blinded the eyes of those who don't believe, you understand it very well now. Satan, ignorance is a great tool in the hands of the devil, a great tool. And then such a person leaves, you know, you by yourself use your hand to create, you carve the stone, and then you now pour red on it, blood, and then you are kneeling down. No, 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 no. God's message reveals what? Only one true God. Hallelujah. And only him is worthy of worship. Are you here so far? Are you here so far? Okay, now, secondly, God's message reveals the man that he created. God's message reveals the man that he created. The scriptures explain God's relationship with man. Are you here? Okay, you know, if he created me, then who am I to him? I should want to find out, right? Yeah. If he made me, then what does he want me to do? The scriptures now explain that relationship, okay? Now, you see, first of all, that God made man in his image. Genesis 1, 26 to 27, okay? God made man in his image. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. Do you see that? in the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. Do you see that? Now what does it mean, created in the image of God? Created in the image of God. Okay, so some have said that God is neither male and female, or rather God is both male and female. Now you laugh. So God created man, male and female, to show that they are in his image. Do you get it? Do you get it? What a God. So is our heavenly mother what in heaven? Hello be our name. Our name, right? Our kingdom come. Right? Okay, so you say that's how God created man in his image. No. Now look at it again. It will make sense. Remember, read in context. What does he say? Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Then what does he say afterwards? Let them have what? Dominion. That's the image. Do you get it? Okay, so God has authority on the earth, right? So he now made man and gave him that authority. That is what he's saying there. Do you get it? Okay, so that is the image of God. Man was made to rule as God's representative on the earth. Do you get it now? Man was made to rule as God's representative on the earth. Alright? That is how he was made in God's image. So man will now have control over all the resources that are on the earth. Now, you observe that man, created by God, had just one instruction from him. Just one instruction. Look at Genesis 2:15. It says, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it. You know what this means now, right? That's worship, right? Okay. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, now this is the command or the instruction per se of God to that man. It says, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall what? Surely die. Now the question is, can God give man instructions? Yes, he is God. Right? And he made man, so he can instruct man. Are you seeing this now? Okay, now what was the instruction? Now I've told you what it means, right? We see in the garden the tree of life and then the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then it says, of every tree you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. So how many trees were in the garden? Two. Are you following this? The tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. To eat one is to not eat the other. Are you following this? So when it says the tree of life, if man eats of the tree of life, that is depend on God for life, right? Remember, I've seen all of this, right? Okay, then man will receive eternal life or immortality. Or man also has an option, right? He has a free will, right? So with that free will, you can say, no, let me try to find life by myself. Now, can man do that? Huh? Can man try to find life by himself? Can he try? But will he? No. Because God never made him to be self-sufficient. Okay? God made man to depend on him for life. So the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil are not literal. Are you following what I'm saying here? I know I tell you that read your Bible like a heart student. Are you here? Read your Bible like an art student. You know, in art, we learn in literature, we learn things like figures of speech. But you know, when you don't understand figures of speech, that's when you come to the Bible and you say the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is sex. How? Amen? The tree of life is a metaphor. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is also a metaphor. Okay? One signifies depending on God for life. The other one signifies depending on man's own effort for life. Remember what the devil told Adam, right? He says, God knows that on the day you eat of it, you shall what? Be like God. Do you see it now? So what was Adam saying? Trying to be like God. How? In his pride and unbelief, trying to get life by himself, when instead he could have depended upon God for life. Is that clear? Okay? So this God that revealed himself as creator to Adam and Eve in Genesis 1-3, okay? Or rather, he revealed himself as creator to Adam and Eve in Genesis 1-3, okay? And now they are supposed to trust in him as their source. That's the point. That's all Genesis 1-3 is talking about. Okay? They are supposed to trust in him as their source. But like we saw in Genesis 3, man chose self-autonomy instead. He wanted to be his own source instead of God. So this is the third thing that God's message reveals. the third thing that God's message reveals, what does it reveal? The sin of man. Do you get it now? The sin, remember, what was the first? One, God. Second, man that he created. And three, the sin of that man. So in God's message, you will find how man sinned. What sin is. So Adam's sin is wanting to be God. Okay? Wanting to be self-sufficient. Are you following this? Can we call that self-idolatry? Can we call that pride? Okay? You know, there's only one God. That's the message, right? So when man now tries to become God, that's pride. Idolatry, right? Okay? You know, God says to Adam, believe me and receive all that I have for you. Then the devil told Adam, you can get it without him. That's the sin. Do you see it now? So that's unbelief and pride. So God's message reveals the true God, and then men or man trying to take up his role in unbelief. This is sin. Are you here so far? Are you here so far? Then fourthly, as we begin to close, God's message reveals sin as universal. God's message reveals sin as universal. Okay? Sin is not something that affects a few men in a few places. Do you get what I just said? Sin is not something that affects a few men in a few places. Sin is a worldwide problem. Okay? Which began from Adam. So, all men are one and the same in God's message. Are you following this? All men are one and the same in God's message. Remember, God made just one man. Are you here? God made just one man. Look at it. Genesis 2:7. That man is Adam. Right? Genesis 2:7. Okay? And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Do you see that? So any other man you see will come from this man. Are you following this? Eve came out of Adam. Look at verse 21 of the same chapter. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took out one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in his place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he did what? Made into a woman. Do you see that? So, but any other creation you find will be from where? From the man. So how many men did God create? Just one. Technically, two. But one from the other. Right? Then these two now procreate and fill the earth with their children. Are you following this? Okay? And he brought her to the man. And Adam said to her, this is now what? Bone of my bones. Does this mean we are the same? Can we say we are the same? Huh? Okay, and flesh of my flesh. Does this mean we are the same? She came out of me, right? Aha, that's what I'm asking. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of me. Do you see that now? Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. They shall become what? One flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed, you know, and on and on and on like that. Okay, so what we have now is Adam and his wife Eve, and then both of them now kept reproducing on the earth. That is how the earth now became populated with men. You see that in Genesis 5 and Genesis 10. Okay, it tells you how the descent, how nations were formed from Adam and Eve. Okay, you can actually trace it. The descent, this gave birth to this, this gave birth to this, this gave birth to this. Okay, till the entire earth was now filled with what? With men. So actually, all men are one. Are you seeing this now? Are you seeing this now? All men in God's eyes are one. Because they all came from where? The same source. Are you here? Are you here? And all men have the same issue. All men. And what is that issue? Sin. Are you following this so far? All men have a singular issue, and that issue is sin. There is a common denominator amongst every single man in humankind. Okay? And that is sin. Look at how Solomon says it. Okay? In 1 Kings 8:46. As we begin to close now. 1 Kings 8:46. Okay, Solomon says that there is no one who doesn't sin. 1 Kings 8:46, it says, when they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin. Do you see that? And you become angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, and they take them captive to the land of the enemy far or near. Okay? So sin is a universal problem. Do you see this now? Common to man. Okay? You know, we do not have the same experiences. You know, some are rich, some are poor. Come on. Some are white, some are black. Amen. Right? Some are sick, some are healthy. We don't all have the same issues. Do you get it? But the only thing that joins every man together, okay, is the fact that all men sin. Hallelujah. That is the common denominator found in God's message for all men. All men sin. Look at Ecclesiastes 7 verse 20. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 20. Okay? It says, for there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. Do you see that? Very clear. You see that David repeats the same thing in Psalm 14, you know. Very interesting. Psalm 14, 1 to 3. David repeats the same thing there. It says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and have done abominable things. There is none. Do you see that? Who does good? That's an absolute statement. Don't you think so? Say, Pastor, I do good. Hallelujah. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand and who seek God. Now look at verse 3. They have all turned aside. Do you see this? And they have together, underline that, become corrupt. All of them, right? There is none who does good. No, not one. Are you seeing this? Are you seeing this? Now he says the same thing again in Psalm 53 verse 1 to 3. Psalm 53 verse 1 to 3, okay? So you don't have to turn there. Psalm 53, 1 to 3. Just write that down for your reference purpose. Now look at how Job says it as well. The book of Job. Look at how he says it as well. Job 15, 14 to 16. Job 15, 14 to 16. Are you there? Okay? It says, what is man that he could be pure, and he who is born of a woman that he could be righteous? This is a rhetorical statement, right? That is, man cannot be pure. Are you saying this? Of himself, right? No, can he be righteous? Verse 15, if God puts no trust in his saints and the heavens are not pure in his sight, how much less man? Do you see that? Who is abominable and filthy, O God, who drinks iniquity. Like water. Do you see that? He drinks sin like water. Do you get it? The way you cannot do without water. That's the way he keeps drinking and drinking and drinking. So is this clear? All men sin. That's the point. Do you get it? Now, what did I say? I didn't say all men are born sinners. You know, there's a way you can misinterpret what I just said. I didn't tell you that all men are born sinners, but I told you that all men eventually will become sinners. Do you follow what I just said? Now, if what I said is confusing you, go on joshbanks.org. Check sermons, check what is man, okay, and listen to it. That is explained very well for you there, okay? Alright, all men are not born sinners, but the way man is, eventually he becomes a sinner, okay, by his own sinful actions. Are you here so far? And you know the thing about sin is not neutral. Are you here? Sin is not neutral. Sin is not something that you do and get away with. For sin is attached a consequence, and that consequence is death. Look at Genesis 2, verse 17. Are you here so far? Are you learning so far? Okay, thank you very much. Genesis 2, 17. Okay, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, can we say in the day that you sin? Okay, you shall what? Surely die. Do you see this? So, lastly, or not lastly yet, God's message reveals man in sin doomed to die. Are you here? God's message reveals man in sin doomed to die. Remember, when man sins, does he get away with it? Huh? Is he neutral? Nothing happens. Just keep sinning. Nothing will happen. Is that what happens? When man sins, what follows after that sin? Death. So, man in his sin is doomed to die. That is his destiny. Death. Are you here? Does God kill him? Does God kill him? Where is the death coming from? The sin. Thank you very much. You are learning. Hallelujah. Okay? The sin. But lastly, in God's message. Now, what have we seen so far? Number one is the Holy God, right? Okay? Then the man he created, right? Then the man in sin, right? Doomed to death. Okay? Now, God's message doesn't stop there. Hallelujah. Now, lastly, God's message reveals a merciful God, hallelujah, who still loves men in sin. His message reveals a merciful God who still loves men in sin, who still goes after the lost. Look at how 2 Samuel 14 verse 14 says it as we begin to close. 2 Samuel 14 verse 14. He says, "For we will surely die." Is that because of sin? Huh? Is it God killing? "And become like water spilled on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again, yet God does not take away life." That's clear. Right? Okay? "But he devises means," hallelujah, "so that his banished ones are not what? Expelled from him." Hallelujah. So God's message reveals a God who does not give up on men. Hallelujah. 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 Okay? He intervenes on behalf of men. So man is doomed to die in sin, right? That's his destiny, right? But what does God do? God intervenes. And you see that mentioned in Genesis 3 verse 15. Genesis 3 verse 15. Right from Genesis, immediately man sins, he says what he will do about the sin problem. Genesis 3 15. It says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall what? Bruise his heel." What is this? Redemption. Are you seeing this? So man is doomed to die, right? But what does God do here? God promises redemption. He makes a promise of salvation for man from his sins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then look at verse 21. He does something very interesting there. In verse 21 of the same chapter, as Genesis 3. It says, "Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them." Do you see that? So what does he do here? He himself now covers man's nakedness. Hallelujah. What a God. What a God. I said, what a God. Remember, in verse 7, when they sinned and they realized they were naked, what did they try to do? They tried to cover their nakedness. Right? Can we say this is man trying to be God? Huh? Were you made to cover yourself or for God to cover you? Are you seeing this? So he sins and then he's trying to handle the sin problem by himself. But what is God saying in verse 21? That is not your job. Hallelujah. That is not your job. I myself will clothe you. Okay? So he himself will take care of man's sin problem. Hallelujah. That is what God's message reveals to man. So if sin is a universal problem, like we've seen, right? Then God's message of salvation is also a universal message. If sin is a universal problem, then God's message of salvation is also a universal message. The same message that will save in Nigeria is the same message that would save in America. The same message. Are you following this? Are you following this? Okay, the same message. So if your message is only applicable to Nigerians, is that the gospel? You know, some people's theology can only work in Nigeria. Amen. Say, God will bless you. He will give you a brand new car. He will better your life. And then you go to America and they are looking at you like, what are you talking about? Our government already does this. Amen. Yeah. So your theology is local champion. Amen. The same message, hallelujah, that will save in Nigeria must be the same message that will save a man in America. If in America the problem there is not the same problem in Nigeria, then it's not the message they are preaching. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Huh? Okay? If in America money is not an issue, then money cannot be the gospel. Hallelujah. Are you here? If in America the issue there is earthquakes, they have natural disasters, but in Nigeria we don't have that. The only thing is Nigerian zone that will roast you. Okay, you know, that cannot be the message. You now go to America and say God will take care of hurricanes, just believe in him. That is not the message. If the message God's message will be applicable to all men in every nation. Are you following what I'm saying here? All men in every nation. Now, what is the common denominator? What can I find in Nigeria that I can find in America? Sin. Hallelujah. What can I find in China that I can find in Russia? Huh? Sin. Amen. What can I find in Lokoja that I can find in Lagos? Sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you here? So God's message is for sin and sin alone. Remember, I've told you this. When you go to an unbeliever and you tell the unbeliever, believe in Jesus, Jesus will make you rich. You know, you've not given him the real message. Are you following what I'm saying? You've given him a pseudo message. That message can't save him. And that's why, you know, when some people, some Christians say things like, God revealed to them that in a denomination, only two people are going to make heaven. Have you heard that before? That God revealed to me that in this denomination, only two people. Say, but there are 500,000. How come? How are you saying? Now, before, when I was much younger, I used to say, it's a lie, all these false doctrine. But actually, now, I grew older. I'm thinking about it. What exactly did you use to bring that crowd? Now, you laugh. What exactly did you use to bring all of them? You were sharing rice. To cater for spiritual death. Oh, serious, oh! Rice, iresi, atichiki, error, to cater for spiritual death. Then you go on the street. Say, we are doing evangelism. So what some people call evangelism is what the government can do without the church. Then you carry iresi. They are snapping pictures. Hey, Tibere, you've not started the work. Amen? So when somebody wakes up and says, well, God told me that in this denomination, only two people are making heaven. Well, now, I say, look at me. It might be true. Amen. Yeah. Because I don't know what you preach to them. Amen. To get them to come. The message that saves a man is how Christ died, is buried, and is raised. That is the only message that saves a man. Are you following what I'm saying here? So if we go to evangelism next week and you go to a Muslim and you tell the Muslim, come to my church. We have AC. And then the Muslim comes, and then he comes with us, and then he's clapping his hands, glory, glory, hallelujah, and he's happy. And then you say, open your Bible, even buy his Bible. Is that a Christian? That's not a Christian, no. Are you following this? You did not give him anything to believe upon. Are you following what I'm saying here? Okay, that the message must be consistent for the Muslim and the Christian. Come on, come on. The idol worshipper, the Shango worshipper. The Jew, the Gentile, come on, Russia, come on, America, come on, it can change in, you know, Israel, they still like God, it can change in Israel, everywhere, hallelujah, the message must be consistent. What is the message that saves a man? How Christ died, he was buried, and he was raised for the sins of man. That is what you present to a man to save him, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And what I just said now is what God told Abraham. Genesis 12, 1 to 3. In you all the nations of the earth, kol mishpekot ha'adama, every tribe, every clan, right, will be saved. Is that the universal message? Is that the universal message? Okay. All the families of the earth will be saved. Hallelujah. So the blessing of Abraham, therefore, cannot be money. Are you following what I'm saying here? The blessing of Abraham, therefore, cannot be money. It wasn't money. I remember I was saying all of that, right? It wasn't money. Money was to point to the blessing. Are you following this? But money was not the blessing. The blessing of Abraham is God taking care of sin with the gift of righteousness. Hallelujah. 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 Okay? So Abraham, therefore, becomes the prototype of righteousness by faith. Abraham is that prototype, that model. Remember I told you what father of many nations mean. It doesn't mean that he will have many nations. He will give birth to many nations. You know, technically, only one nation came out of Abraham, the Jews, right? But when he says father of many nations, that's spiritual, right? And father means what? Those whom the nations will copy. Those whom the nations will emulate. What did he do? He believed. And what happened when he believed? It was counted to him for righteousness. Genesis 15 verse 6. Do you see that? So he believed, was made righteous, and now shows others as well how they too can become righteous. Hallelujah. Okay? Then from that point onward, God continues to plead with the families of the earth to receive his own righteousness. Do you see that now? And then he keeps prophesying about his plan to save man from his sin through his prophets. Look at Isaiah 1 verse 18. It says, "Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. "Is this in you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed? Is this his righteousness for our sin? Okay. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be what? As wool." Hallelujah. So what does he want now? He wants to wash away man's sin. That is what the message of God reveals. Do you see this now? Not only is man doomed in sin, God now wants to provide what? A way out, a solution. He wants to wash away man's sins. You see that again, Ezekiel 36 verse 25. As we close now, Ezekiel 36 25. Hallelujah. It says, "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean." Hallelujah. It says, "I will cleanse you from all filthiness and from all your idols." Hallelujah. Do you see this? It says, "I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you what? A heart of flesh." Amen. Look at Ezekiel 37, 23. Ezekiel 37, 23. It repeats the same thing there again as well. "They shall not defile themselves anymore." Do you see that? Anymore. That is, they once did, right? Okay, "with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will deliver them," hallelujah, "from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and what? Will cleanse them," hallelujah. "Then they shall be what? My people, and I'll be what? My God." Remember, the scriptures are what? Salvation books, right? So what is God doing here? God is preaching through his prophets. Are you seeing this? He's telling man what he would do, or what he wants to do about the sin problem. Hallelujah. Look at Jeremiah 33 verse 8. Jeremiah 33 verse 8. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Jeremiah 33 verse 8. He says, "I will cleanse them from all their iniquity by which they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities by which they have sinned, and by which they have transgressed against me." Do you see that again? So the Old Testament scriptures reveal a missionary God. Are you seeing this? The Old Testament scriptures reveal a missionary God with a missionary message to the nations of the world. And his message is clear. He alone is God, and he wants all men saved and turning to him, right? He wants all the nations of the world, right, turning and coming to him in salvation. Hallelujah. So is there anyone he doesn't want? Is there anyone he doesn't want? Come on, let's think very well. Are you sure? Said this Nigeria is so bad. Hey, does God really want Nigerians saved anymore? Does he want Nigerians? Does he want Asians? Americans? Come on, people in Mozambique, Botswana, or is just Nigeria he likes? What about Israel? Come on, does he want all of them? Does he want all the nations filled with his glory? Right? Amen. Come on, what about Algeria? Does he want them as well? Say, but Antarctica is very, very far. Who will get to Antarctica? Does he want Antarctica as well? Yes. Hallelujah. Does he want all the continents? Amen. Amen. Does he want every country in the world? Does he want every one of them? Every tribe? Every clan? Call Mishpekot? Amen. Adama. Hallelujah. Amen. Every single one of them. Hallelujah. You know, our ministry website currently, joshbanks.org, has reached 89 countries. Think about that. 89 countries. How many countries are in the world? 150, right? And it has reached 89. Is God happy? Is he happy? Is that his plan? Come on, is that his plan? Everyone, everywhere, coming to the knowledge of the truth. But what about the others? What about the others? Does he want them too? Does he want them too? Come on, does he want them too? What does he want? The entire world. Every single man, everywhere, turning to the Lord in worship. Will we give him what he wants? Will we give him what he wants? Oh, yes, we will. Oh, yes, we will. Hallelujah. Are you blessed today? Lift your hands and just give him praise. Thank him.